Good morning, everyone, and welcome again back into our home. You may notice a new visitor. This is Mac. Mac is visiting with us for a few days, and Charlie and Millie's at the groomer. So this is a good time to get all of this done. So Mac will join with us. Today we're going to take a look at John chapter 13, and I must admit I'm just a little bit uneasy at the immensity of what we're about to look at. John didn't actually tell us anything about communion, but he gave us a picture of everything that was going on around communion. So John takes us right into the room and lets us feel and touch and hear all the things that were going on. Something you need to keep in mind. This is the last day, or less than a day, of the Lord's life. Less than 24 hours, he's going to be hanging on the cross, dead. So this is the things he wanted to tell his disciples, and this was his last chance to do it. But before we get into John chapter 13, I want to set the scene for you. When we think of God, at the very beginning of all things, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He was the creator. Then 1,000 years or so, we can read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 2, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. And there is no rock like our God. I think that is a well-stated comment about God. Now let's go to the very end of all things, some time out in the future from us. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, gives us an interesting picture. Let me read. Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And this we know to be our Heavenly Father, Jehovah God. But don't forget what we have just learned going through the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John. God is the eternal Word, but that Word came to earth and became flesh. In that flesh is His Son, Jesus Christ, the one that we are just about to take a look at. And we're going to look at what He did around His disciples. And when you consider His majesty and holiness and what He did, it'll blow your mind. And now we come to John chapter 13. Let's begin to look at what happened beginning in verse number 1. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. He loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. Now when it was time for supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from the supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Now he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered, what I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. You will never wash my feet, Peter said. And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus kind of sets him straight. One who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet. But he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. This is what why he said, "Not all of you are clean." Verse 12. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that's what I am." So, if your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I'm not speaking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must be fulfilled, "The one who eats my bread and has raised his heel against me." I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe that I am he. Truly I tell you, whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. Lord, help us to understand what we're just looking at. Help us to comprehend the immensity of what just took place. This is not just a man who's washing the disciples' feet. This is God in flesh. Help us not to miss that. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus had taught, trained, corrected, and instructed his disciples. Now he puts something amazing before us. In the first few verses of John summarizes the life of Jesus. It's clear that Jesus knew where he was coming from. He knew what he was all about. He knew where he was going. Then Jesus takes off his robe and lays it down, wraps a towel around him, and he bows before each disciple and washes their feet. Don't miss that. He bows before them and washes their feet. Remember, he's the one who created all things, the one who is holy, the one who will one day return and judge everyone. This is the one who is bowing before his disciples and washing their feet. Let that sink in. Some people say that this foot washing thing was just a cultural thing, and true it is. But have you ever seen or heard of a master and Lord personally washing people's feet? Don't think so. Yet Jesus, the master and Lord of everything, takes his robe off, puts a towel on, bows before his disciples, washes their feet. Well, Peter saw what was about to happen, and he shouted, "Listen, you will never wash my feet." Well, Jesus had to correct him and said, "Listen, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have any part of me." And Peter switches to his other extreme. "Well, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head." And he wanted everything that Jesus had for him. Do we want everything that Jesus has for us personally? Well, after Jesus completes his task, he sits down and he explains what took place. Verses 12 through 15. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you." What he's done for us, we're supposed to do for each other. Well, does that mean that the Lord wants us to go out and wash each other's feet? Well, some churches say yes. Most churches say no. Some say he was just setting an example for us to follow. And true, he was setting us an example. But what is that example? That is an example of ultimate humility. Now, I've been in a couple of foot washing services, and true, it's one of the most humbling things you will ever do in your life. So think about that. But for Jesus, he washed their feet. God left his throne room and became flesh, bowed on his knees, and washed his disciples' feet. There could not be greater extremes. But there's one thing that maybe you haven't thought about. Were these men around the table, were they fine examples of Christian character? Well, see, some people call them saints. Were they actually saints? Well, let's just see. It's not too long until these disciples were arguing amongst themselves to see which one of them was going to be the greatest. Not a good example of Christian character. Judas, one of the men at the table, was soon to deny Jesus for a handful of silver. My goodness. And then Peter, the outspoken Peter, in hours, he would deny that he even knew Jesus, and he would do it three times. My goodness. And then finally, Jesus had turned these guys into fishers of men, but shortly after the resurrection, they went back to fishing for fish. They go back to the old ways. This is what Jesus was dealing with. Now let me ask you, what would you do? Would you wash their feet? Well, Jesus did. So, Jesus, the Lord of glory, humbled himself, bowed at the feet of his disciples, and washed their feet. Would you have done that? Would I? Now let's turn for a minute. What does Jesus say to us about this whole thing? Well, first of all, he said clearly, "I'm doing this as an example for you to follow." And that's what he wants us to do. But let's just reconsider again what he did. The God-man that created the whole world and the universe lowered himself to the death of a criminal, and he did that for you and for me. How does that make you feel? Well, that's an amazing thing that Jesus would do that for us. I guess that's the whole point for today. But you know, sometimes we feel pretty low about the things that we've done. But Jesus would still humble himself before us. Matter of fact, I think Jesus has given each of us an invitation, which I want to look at. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says this to everyone, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's you too. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. That's who Jesus is. He's lowly and humble. Not what other people say. He's humble, and he just proved that. He said, if you come to me, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what he said. If you're broken, come to me. If you're tired and ready to fall apart, come to me. You'll find out that I am meek and lowly. I've humbled myself. I've been broken on the cross. And I did that for you. I understand. Won't you come to me? I believe Jesus will accept every person who will humble themselves before him and come to him and call out for him to be their Lord and Savior. You see, all the disciples were broken. They had messed up. Matter of fact, God used all of them wonderfully, except for one. But he used them to change the world where they were. Just history tells us that. That's what Jesus can do with broken people. Now, how about you? How about you? Will you come to him? Will you? Will you follow a Savior who has humbled himself for you? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this challenge. Lord, it's mind-blowing what you did. God, the King of glory, became a man, humbled himself, washed the disciples' feet, and died a criminal's death for us. I guess that's real love. Help us to follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.